This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And good Saturday morning and welcome to October and the opening day of the Mississippi-Louisiana squirrel season. A little bit of squirrel revival going on there for you. Get you in the mood, and good luck to you if you're going to be headed out there this morning looking for the bushy tails and the rabbit ears. They're also open, you know. Rabbit hunting is mostly late season when a lot of the vegetation's down. You can get the dogs out in the cool weather. But I do have a tip for you. If you're an early season rabbit hunter and you'd want to do a little combination rabbit and squirrel hunting, I'll share a tip with you that's worked for me. Also got the bow season for you deer hunters going on. And, boy, I got some news on Red Snapper. It looks like it's finally coming to an end. It's going to be shutting down after this weekend. I'll explain more details about the red snapper season in Louisiana. Let's see, what else we got going on? Oh, did you hear? Imported shrimp infiltrated the recent Louisiana Shrimp and Petroleum Festival in Morgan City. Who knew the shrimp and the petroleum would be served together? Well, if you went and you had some shrimp, how were they? Text me. Do that along with your fishing and hunting reports, your comments, your questions. We have an open text board. Comes right here to the studio, 504-260-1870. Can't take photos, however. If you want to send me a pic, it's certainly welcome. But do that on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, and just find the contact button. All right, we're also going to hear from the stars of this week's Bayou Wild TV's Tigers in the Wild episode. You know, we've been taking LSU athletes out and enjoying the great outdoors and showcasing not just their athletic skills, but also their hunting and fishing skills. This one is titled Red Snapper Flexin'. We have two members from the LSU National Gymnastic Championship team, Sierra Ballard and Ashley Cowan. We'll be hearing from them about their first ever offshore fishing trip aboard the Kemo Sabe 2. And we did that out of Vermilion Bay. All right, well, for your listening pleasure, we also have the story of a high-profile gator hunter. You probably heard about it already, but we'll give you a little more details on a guy that was busted on this week's Bad Boys of the Outdoors. Also, we've got our regular field reporters, professional captains, marina operators, sharing fishing reports with us to help you get out and find them. And we can do that if you want to add your fishing report into it. Text us your message. Again, that number is 504-260-1870. If you're headed out, and it looks like the snapper, we actually went over quota on the red snapper, which could mean a penalty for next year's quota. But if you're going to try to get it in, and it does not technically close until 11:59 p.m. tomorrow. So you got today and tomorrow, but forecast for the offshore does not look good. A little bit stiffer winds and seas than what I'd like to fish snapper in. East winds today about 15 to 20 knots, 3 to 5-foot seas. Tomorrow getting even worse, 15 to 25, 4 to 6-foot seas, kind of putting red snapper off. On the interior lakes and bays, not quite as bad, but it's going to be pretty breezy, light chop out there, east winds. Somewhere between 8 and 15 today, increasing to easterly at 10 to 18 tomorrow. Mississippi River stage, 2.7, and pretty good tidal range, 1.0 on the tide marker. All right, when we come back after this, we'll check in with Robbie Campo down at Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. I'm looking at the radar right now. Most of the rain is light, and most of it, almost all of it, is offshore. Some of it may move in along the lower coast, so bring the wet weather gear if you're headed out there. And good luck to you squirrel and rabbit hunters on opening day. If you're going, shoot me a text. Tell me where you are and what you're hoping to do. We'll be right back and talk more about the stuff you and I love to discuss every Saturday morning on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's take the trip down to Lower St. Bernard Parish. And when we cross the Bayou Lutra Bridge, just hook the left and go down to Campo's Marine and talk to Robbie Campo. Robbie, what's the stage set there this morning? What are you looking at weather-wise?
Well, Don, I pulled up here this morning to extremely high tides. We got a northeast wind blowing about 15 a steady 15. Water's up on the docks. It's up on the cement. You know, water's really, really high this morning. So you're going to get wet feet if you're coming over here this morning, that's for sure. Bring your boots if you got some, because water's up. It is going to fall today. I don't know when exactly high tide is, but I know we have the tide gauge is showing a foot of tide today, so we do have some really good tide movement. You know, Don, we had this neap tide thing, kind of double tide thing going on throughout the week, and they still caught plenty of fish around, you know, or just around with the Lake Bourne area here, around Shell Beach area. Did very well on the Lake Robin side, over on the Lake Coquille side, you know, in that lake and at Hopedale Lagoon area. Starting to see some really nice trout being caught up in there. You know, even up in the Biloxi Marsh, well, we hadn't been seeing that. You know, it's been getting better every week. So now we're starting to see some of those 12 and 7, 8 trout turning into 13s, 13 and an 8, 13 and a quarter. So it is happening. Mother Nature's doing her thing. There's plenty of bait for these fish to eat. So I was just hoping that, you know, some of these 12 and a half and 12 and three quarter fish would, you know, all at the same time just turn into legal fish to catch. But I guess it will happen. We're starting to see some really nice trout being caught mixed in with them. So that's telling me that this transitioning thing is happening as we speak. So, and you know, and the water's good and salty in here. So now I'm thinking that, you know, these fish are going to, you know, it's just going to be just a matter of days before it really pops off real good. And it has been good, but until it gets great, you know what I'm saying? So we're seeing, you know, plenty of redfish up in the marshes, up in the Biloxi Marsh, and even on the south side over here, behind the Hopedale, Delacroix area, they've been catching plenty of redfish back there. It was just a really, really good week of fishing. I didn't see the, you know, down when they drop these limits like this, you know, they come in, they got 30, and you see them on the table. It's, you know, I'm still used to seeing 50, you know, 25 per person, and you know what I mean? So, you know, you get used to the new limits. You know, you look on the table, but they're still doing pretty good. I had a guy yesterday morning went right there, LaBeouf's cut. He put 15 trout in the boat in 10 minutes, if that tells you something. So I think today, Don, if you're going to be fishing, you know, with this stiff northeast wind blowing that we got, I think you're going to have to go, you know, if you're going to fish the Mr. Go, fish the cuts on a Mr. Go from Lena Lagoon going up maybe to Stump Bayou or going up towards Violet that way, or either behind the dam, you're going to get you a mixture of white trout, speckled trout, you know. And look, Don, this white trout thing is really caught on. So, you know, people are learning how to take care of these fish. I know we talk about it a lot, but it started to catch on. So, you know, people are telling me now, and I'm talking people that wouldn't even keep them, are like, man, you know, they're not so bad. You know, you can't tell the difference when you fry them. I said, well, I've been telling you that for years. So, you know, everybody just had, it was almost like they had a hard head on a line when they had a white trout on it. But now this thing is catching on, and, you know, with no limit, no size limit, you know, they're catching a, you know, going out there and making mixed boxes. I ask you to respectfully keep the nicer ones and throw the little ones back, but, you know, and they do, and for the most part, nobody wants to clean a 9-inch fish, so they, you know, they are doing the right thing. But still in all, reminder, people, October the 15th is coming quick. We will have flounder season closed until November 30th. So I think you're going to have a month and a half of flounder season closed, which has really rebounded back pretty quick, Don. I think this is something that's going to have to be relooked at for wildlife and fisheries in the next year or two to maybe shorten that or do away with it. These fish have come back really good. They've been catching plenty of them around here. You know, a lot of people don't know how to fish for flounders. You got to fish for flounders on a flat or either on the edge of a hole. And a lot of, you know, they just get lucky and catch them. You know what I mean? So, but the flounder population has bounced back pretty good. And I think that's something that's just, you know, maybe with these closures for the last couple of years, you know, they got to spawn and, you know, reproduce, and the numbers are looking good.
Yeah, fortunately, maybe the way things are looking, they can reduce the period when they're going to be off limits, or actually do away with it altogether if the numbers come back strong enough. Robbie, what's in your shrimp tanks? I can't see from here, so what's in there this morning?
Well, we stocked up pretty good, Don. You know, it's just a little wet getting to them.
Yeah, boots are required this morning.
Yeah, boots are required this morning. Yes, sir, absolutely. If you're coming down here, you know, make sure you got, or you're going to have to roll your pants up because the water is up, and that's out of my hands. That's, you know, this is a Mother Nature thing going on. But, yeah, and like I said, Don, you know, this wind blowing like this today, I just had somebody ask me just a few minutes ago, where do you think I ought to go fishing today? I said, well, you know, you could, they're sitting there waiting for daylight. I said, well, you could either go fish on the edge of the Margo, or you could go up in a Bluxy Marsh behind Stump Lagoon. They did catch some nice fish Wednesday over by Crooked Bayou, so I think Lake Eugene's probably going to be out because that's going to be a little bit muddy in that area. Bob's Lakes area is probably going to be a little bit muddy, but the inside of that Crooked Bayou area in that Stump Lagoon, Muscle Bay, you know, Crooked Bayou Lagoon, I think Pete's Lagoon, I think that should be doable. The water should be clean back there. Up in Magnolia Lagoon, I think it's going to be good. You know, up around the St. Malo area, been catching some fish back up in here. So up in Bayou, in the back of the lagoons behind Bayou Sioux. So you get up in the heart of that marsh, I think you're going to be okay.
Robbie, you're giving them a lot of options. Sounds good, my friend. Thanks for the report, as always. We appreciate it, and stay dry.
Yes, sir. Talk to you next week, Don. Bye-bye.
All righty. When you get there, hook the left, and you'll see Robbie down there at Shell Beach. All right, we come back after this. I'm going to tell you more about the closing of the Louisiana red snapper season. It's been a good one. In fact, we went over the limit. We'll tell you what implications that'll have on next year's quota. And also, we'll talk more about what went on at the Louisiana Shrimp and Petroleum Festival in Morgan City. Back with that after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, you got today and tomorrow, and, well, probably not much chance given the seas and the forecast we've got offshore to catch some red snapper because it will close at midnight tomorrow, technically 11:59 p.m. And that's because the Loch Creel estimates indicate that 966,005 pounds, which represents 103.4% of Louisiana's 2024 allocation, which was close to 1 million pounds, have been harvested through September 22nd, so there's still some more fish to count. Once all that data has been reported through tomorrow, then they'll come up with a final estimate with the complete landings for the 2024 season. Now, whatever poundage over the allocation we go, it will be deducted from next year's quota. It's been a great 151-day four-snapper limit season. Most of the time it was 7 days a week, and that would not have been possible without the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries creation of that Loch Creel Active Near Real-Time Management Program, which a lot of you participate in. So we can be proud of that. It was started here in Louisiana, and other states are now starting to adopt it, and without that we would never be able to catch the number of red snapper that are now allocated to us. Well, after tomorrow night, no red snapper till next spring, and we'll be looking forward to that again. All right, we had an incident took place at the Louisiana Shrimp and Petroleum Festival in Morgan City. They did some genetic testing of the seafood, and the person who did the testing, Mr. Williams of CD Consulting, he found that 4 out of 5 of the vendors there that were selling you the public shrimp were serving foreign shrimp that were passed off as local. This was held over the Labor Day weekend. This company is a food safety tech that developed a seafood species identification test. And the shrimpers in Louisiana invited him to Morgan City to try out his technology at the festival. This festival goes way back to 1936. Williams said he purchased plates of boiled shrimp from 5 out of the 12 seafood vendors, and he asked each one where the shrimp were caught. All 5 vendors assured him their shrimp came from Louisiana waters. However, his testing showed that only 1 of 5 vendors, which was Woodrow's Cajun Cuisine, sold shrimp that were actually from the Gulf of Mexico. This was according to his testing. The other four samples were foreign farm-raised species, most likely imported from India or Ecuador. And he admitted that this experiment wasn't enough to withstand scientific scrutiny, but said the technology has been published in scientific journals and has undergone peer review. So he feels pretty confident the results were accurate. Of those four who were selling foreign shrimp, two were local restaurants and two were vendors that exclusively go to fairs and festivals. He did not want to identify him, saying that his testing wasn't meant to embarrass anyone, but I believe he should have identified them. He said the festival organizers should hold the vendors to a higher standard. The person getting the revenue knew, the people at the top definitely knew foreign shrimp were being sold. Representatives from that festival did not respond to calls and emails from the Louisiana Illuminator, the publication that published this story. And by the way, health inspectors have recorded more than 2,600 violations of a 2019 law that requires restaurants and other establishments to indicate on their menus if they're selling you imported shrimp or crawfish. The state has not levied a single fine for any of those 2,600 violations since the law took effect. Senator Pat Connick of Marrero, and I have had him interviewed before, he worked hard on a bill this past session and got it passed, and it will be intended to mislead seafood marketing, and it will require anyone serving seafood in Louisiana to clearly, and that says clearly, disclose whether it's local or imported. A lot of times it's very difficult to tell. They may put some Cajun-made or French name on it, but in the fine print it says a product of China or some other place. And you can usually tell by the price if you're getting good Louisiana seafood. Now, that new law is scheduled to go in effect this coming January, and restaurants will have to prominently print it on their menu if they are serving foreign shrimp. If you went to the festival and you ate some shrimp, how were they? Of course, maybe you got some of the real Gulf stuff. Maybe you didn't. You know, that's why it's even more important to have these at-the-dock sales that we promote. You know, they have those down in St. Bernard Parish. The fishermen bring their boats and their catch to the dock, and the consumers go straight there and load their ice chest up, and you know where it's coming from, and you're getting it fresh if you deal with it there. All right, I got some text messages coming in. We'll get to those, and I'll tell you about that rabbit hunting tip for you squirrel and rabbit hunters right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. I want to remind you about a really good little fishing rodeo that's coming up next weekend. It'll be next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's the 9th annual Venetian Isles Fishing Rodeo. It's going to be at the Lake Catherine Island Marina on Chef Highway. This rodeo actually goes back a number of years. It was really one of the big rodeos in the state. And then it kind of went away, and then some folks wanted to bring it back, and they resurrected it, and now for the last 9 years it's been going good and strong. It benefits Wish to Fish Louisiana, a very worthwhile organization, getting kids involved in fishing. And this rodeo has a strong flavor of kids categories. There's actually three divisions. There's the youth, which is 9 and under. That's the little guys and girls. Junior anglers 10 to 15, and then the adult, which is 16 or older. So there's a fishing category for everyone. That would include speckled trout, sheephead, bass, the redfish under the 27-inch, flounder. Flounder will still be open. It'll be closing down after that. Biggest fish and the alligator gar. And there's some special categories for the little 9 and under. They can catch the catfish, flounder, croaker, and either the white or speckled trout. If you want to find out more information, just Google it. It's Venetian Isles Fishing Rodeo, and all the ticket information and the contact information is all there. They do a great job on it, and again, it benefits the Venetian Isles Fishing Rodeo and Wish to Fish Louisiana. All right, when we pause for this 10 seconds, when we come back, we're going to share some text messages from you, our listeners. We'll do that after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I see our friend Darrell Carpenter sent me some update from the Shrimp and Petroleum Festival, a statement they made after that story appeared, and we'll talk more to him about it because he does some shrimping down there in Grand Isle. All right, let's see. Here's the first text in. This is a Mississippi squirrel hunter going after those bushy tails with Boy this morning. Good luck to everyone. Is that his name, Boy? It was good enough for Tarzan's kid. I guess you can name your son Boy. Anyway, good luck to you. And I did want to pass along that rabbit hunting tip. You know, rabbit hunting really doesn't crank up until we get some colder weather. It's not conducive to warm weather. There's still a lot of thick vegetation, and it's tough on the beagles. But if you go squirrel hunting, every now and then you can come across a rabbit in the same woods. And a lot of times those rabbit, because they're so well camouflaged and they're perfectly still, might be underneath a little brush, you don't really see them. And I found that when I used to still hunt for squirrels at the same time, I'd keep my eyes on the ground. And what you look for a rabbit, you're not going to see, maybe you might see the ears, but because of the color, it blends in and it's almost invisible with the camouflage. But the one thing that stands out is that big rabbit eye. And I'm not talking about using a light at night. You can spot that big eye sometimes. It'll be identifiable, and then you can spot the rabbit before he takes off from underneath your feet and kind of shocks you. Anyway, good luck if you're going to be doing some small game rabbit and squirrel hunting. Squirrel used to be the number one target among hunters, but now it's become the white-tailed deer, even the young kids. But it's a great sport to get youngsters involved in their first hunt, and I've done that with several of them, and they've gone on to become all-time big-time hunters. All right, here's a text that says it's the Rocket Family's Redfish Invitational down in Dulac. Good luck to Dale. Catch, measure, take a pick, and release. A question comes in, is shark good to eat? Yes, it is. It has some special handling problems. Sharks have a different system of getting rid of their ammonia, and it kind of concentrates in the lower end. So it's good to cut the tail off and bleed a shark real good. And I always ate the just certain parts of the shark, that white meat that you find near the tail. It sometimes it looks a little gray depending on the species, but they actually used to serve shark to public school students. It's healthy, and it doesn't have that bad of a taste. A little bit strong, but kind of along the lines of a catfish, I'd say. All right, and you can find shark recipes of all type. All right, our friend Wingbone, Alabama, he's retiring the Remington Model 1100. Probably well-deserved. And we have Big E in Thibodeau. He's going to Wadeel Wildlife Management today near Baton Rouge, taking the grandson, Nolan, hoping they're going to catch his first fish with his pawpaw. Even if we don't catch, it's the experience that counts. We got a good chance of catching them. They recently stocked some catfish there, and they had the Louisiana National and National Hunting and Fishing Day celebration. And they had a lot of fishers, but they didn't catch them all. There's still some there. Let me know how you do. Lafitte LT, he's heading to Grand Isle next week for the Women's Rodeo benefiting breast cancer. His wife is a 22-year-old survivor. Congratulations to her. On the team, Hukna Matata. Yeah, that's a play on words there. He says, pray for us, husbands and dad. These girls are extremely competitive. They want to top last year. They placed in three different categories. And someone wanted to know when the next seafood market in Delacroix, Hopedale, will go pick up that fresh seafood. They always notify me, and I'll have it on the air. But if someone down there is listening and they have a date set in advance, let me know, and we'll share it with the audience. Here's one that says the vendors that were selling imported shrimp as local caught wild shrimp should be banned from any further festivals, including local restaurants. This one says, Robbie talking about the need for boots down there this morning reminded me a bit of history. Not sure how many people know this, but Chalmette is an old Indian word. It truly translates to land of the white boot people. I have to get my research team to verify that. All right, we got some more text in. If you've got one for us, 504-260-1870. We'll be back to talk to Kirk Stansel out in southwest Louisiana, get a recap on his teal season and a fishing report if you're headed that way. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time to check in with Captain Kirk Stansel out there at Hackberry Rod and Gun in Hackberry. Captain Kirk, how are you doing this morning?
Man, I'm good. Going to fight a little wind this morning, but other than that, it's good.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be dry at least, but yeah, the wind's going to be a little pesky.
That's right. We were dry yesterday. That rain just missed us to the east. So, it's going to be a little breezy today. No, it's not going to be breezy. It's going to have a little wind. It's supposed to blow 10. It's blowing about 11 right now, but 10 to 15 is what they're forecasting. But most of our fishing has been back in the marsh lately. The trout being caught are being caught north up by the casinos, you know, up there at Lake Charles, Priam Lake. And there's decent numbers of trout coming from up there. But with my crew, we're going into marsh after redfish today. That's what they want.
Yeah, I saw some beautiful just underneath, you know, on that upper end of the slot reds that came in down there this week.
Yeah, we've been catching a lot of redfish, a lot just over the slot. And then there's quite a few under the slot. The redfish has been good, you know, back as long as you're back in the marsh. The lake hadn't been producing that many redfish. And Big Lake West Cove, it just hadn't turned on yet. No birds. You know, there's been a few birds pick here and there, but I think this next front we get, it'll open things up. It'll get better.
How are you fishing those reds? Y'all using artificial or using live bait?
I'm going to start off throwing go up under a cork, but my guys are probably going to throw shrimp.
Yeah, we only got another week to get those flounders.
That's right, and they haven't done it. They're just that's bycatch right now, catching a few here and there. You know, they hadn't start ganging up. Water temperature needs to drop a little bit, and we need to get rid of some tide, and the flounder run will start. But like I said, we got till the 15th, and that's it.
Yep. If you would recap your teal season, it seemed like most areas had a pretty good start, and then we had a little bit of a drought in the middle. But boy, when that frontal system, and it wasn't much of a front, but when it came through, brought a lot of birds in to wrap it up that last few days.
Well, for us in the marsh, it was not good. It's one of the worst teal seasons we've ever had, Don. Opening weekend was good. You know, like I talked to you the opening day.
Right.
I think we had three at the time. At 8 o'clock, we had our 18. And the next day I went out, same spot, we shot three.
Mm.
And we just didn't see the number of birds we normally do by a bunch. And it just, well, for whatever reason, we weren't in one of the hot spots.
Yeah, a lot of people reported that, and then there were some sprinklings of some really good teal action. But I think it just, you know, bears out what the feds are reporting, that the population of blue wings is down. In fact, it's down below the minimum that allows for a 16-day season. So I'm expecting a 9-day season next year.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. That's what I'm told. It's going to be 9 days next year.
Well, we're looking forward to the November big duck season. What kind of shape are your marshes in as far as feed in the ponds?
In great shape. You know, we had a real wet year this year, you know, behind that drought here. And there's a lot of food in the marshes. Our marshes look just outstanding. They look real good.
Well, sounds like it's setting up to be a great cast and blast some month in November.
That's right. It should be. I mean, you know, the fish hadn't got turned on to that fall pattern yet, but as soon as we get another front or so, drop that water temperature a little bit, get some tides out of the marsh, the trout, you know, they'll start scooting up, fish bite will turn on, and then the ducks with it.
Yeah, and those redfish start stacking up by those weirs and dams and cuts and the passes, and it'll all be on by then. Well,
that's
if somebody
right.
wants to get in on that stuff, I know there's several ways to get you. We got your connection, a link on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Tell us about how to get you on all your media sources.
Okay, well, our website's Hackberry Rod and Gun, you spell out and.com. I got a live cam feed on there. And we have a toll-free number. It's 888-762-3391.
Now, Kirk, you do a kind of a little podcast report each week. Is there a set date and time when you do that report, or is it whenever Kirk feels like he's got time to sit down and chat?
Tuesdays at 6 o'clock.
Oh, there we go. Put that on the schedule. Yep. And how do people access it?
Through Facebook. I mean, all I know is Buddy set my phone up, I push the buttons and get to it and do it. That's all I know.
That's all you need to know.
That's right.
Kirk, always great talking to you.
Facebook.
Always great conversation.
Okay, it was always good talking to you, Don.
Yeah, we need to do it in person. Hope we can get down there sometime this fall. All right.
Okay, buddy. I hope so. All right, thank you.
Captain Kirk Stansel, one of the Stansel brothers operating Hackberry Rod and Gun. What a great place they have down there. You might want to check him out on that Facebook and catch his reports each week. All right, we got some more texts coming in. The Backstrap Stacker, he says he's getting ready for bow season over in Alabama. They're trimming up a few shooting lanes. Got some nice bucks on camera. Yeah, well, you got to put them somewhere else besides the camera. Those cameras, boy, You know, they can really be teasers sometimes. All right, here's one that says, good morning. Just a notice that Venetian Isles Community Association Fishing Rodeo's next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a benefit for Wish to Fish, and I'll be running out of Lake Catherine Marina. Thank you. Bye. You must have got a little bit of a lake start. I just talked about that. All right, here's one that says, old man Sam, he's heading to the deer stand, a statewide handicapped hunter whitetail deer weekend. He's looking for his last buck. I hope you can get him. And here's one says, Buenos dias de Ohio. What do you think about hunting them Canada geese? They're thinking on it up here. Ever et one? How they taste? Not sure about that language mix there. Anyway, Canada geese, yes, I have eaten them. And they are excellent. I mean, they're not the quality of a speckle belly, but they're better than the snow and blue geese. So if that puts them in perspective for you. All right, we come back after this. I'm going to talk to Darrell Carpenter, get a Grand Isle fishing report, and also chat with him a little bit about the shrimping issue with the imports coming in versus the good Louisiana Gulf shrimp. We're back to do that after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Have you ever been out fishing and had your reel scream? Well, this guy has, Darrell Carpenter. In fact, he's named his business. His operation is Charter Fishing Service, reelscreamers.com. He operates out of Grand Isle. And, Darrell, we're going to get to fishing. We're going to get to shrimping. But before that, what's the weather looking like? It looks like that stuff is kind of offshore from you guys, but I'm sure the wind's going to be picking up a little later. What's it look like today?
Well, Don, we're sitting right on the edge of it. You know, the Gulf's full of rain, but it's dry here on the island right now, which, of course, we needed. One of my captains came back yesterday, and he wanted to know if I could go get a big bag of rice so he could just climb in it and you know, soak up all the moisture and dry off because it rained on us all day yesterday. But no, I mean, the wind's actually dropping a little bit. When I got up this morning, it was around 15 or so. The wind gauge says it's going to drop down to 10. So east, you know, mostly east, a little north in it. But other than that, I mean, hey, it was a good day yesterday, and hopefully it's going to be as good today, you know.
Got some beautiful days, a little hint of fall coming next week, and have some lows near that. Well, I don't know if it'll get that low as the 60s in Grand Isle, because you guys usually stay warmer than the rest of the state, but it's going to be a little bit of a pleasant change from what we've had in those mid to high 90s in the middle of the summer. What's been, what's been the fish of choice down there this week?
Well, that's just it, Don. There has been no fish of choice. I mean, the fall bite is setting up to where it's that early fall pattern that's starting to where it's pushing us into the marsh with the weather and everything else to start looking for these fish. And you're finding just a cornucopia of it. I mean, speckled trout, white trout, black drum, redfish, we had them all yesterday. And it's you know, it's just a setup that you're going where all the fish are congregating at this point. Everything is all in one place. And you're having to slow down and fish them a little bit differently. The speckled trout, my God, I mean, I bet between our three boats yesterday, there must have been probably close to 1,000 speckled trout caught to keep what we did keep. There are shrimp everywhere. I mean, birds and fish chasing shrimp, you name it. But the problem is you're getting up into that estuary. So out of that 1,000 fish, we had maybe 120 of them that were keeper size. So, you know, that's between the three boats, that's what came back. And like I said, the black drum mix, and we had everything but flounder yesterday. We didn't tag in any flounder yesterday. But that pattern will continue. I mean, up there in the marsh, you know, fishing those deeper holes and stuff when you can find them. And that's when you add in the black drum and the redfish with them also.
Are you fishing live bait or are you using that Marker 54? What's been your technique?
The majority of the bite was artificial. It's artificial under a cork as long as those fish are chasing those shrimp. You know, it's real easy to put an artificial under a cork and hand it to a customer. In fact, one of my captains was telling me yesterday that he was fishing a double rig, and the customer set the pole down over the edge of the boat, over the side of the boat, to get him a drink. And when he went back and picked the pole up, he had a trout on each hook, just hanging it over the side of the boat.
That happens. That's when you are luckier than you are good. Darrell, the Louisiana Shrimp and Petroleum Festival, they issued a statement, and I want to thank you for sharing that with me since this news came out, and well, they might, because I'm sure this would be a negative on them to find out that they're selling imported stuff, a lot of that junk that comes here full of antibiotics and raised in the shrimp are hatched in some really horrible sanitary conditions in some of these other countries. And not all of it, a very small percentage of it, is is actually inspected, so you don't know what you're getting when that stuff comes over here. Looks like they're taking some steps to help their vendors clearly identify if they're going to be selling imported shrimp at their festival next year to comply with the new law. You know, Darryl, I can tell Gulf shrimp just from the smell, if not the smell, the taste from imports. I'm sure you can, too, as much dealing you've had with shrimp.
And the texture, Don. I mean, you can bite into a shrimp, and you can tell whether it's a Captain D's or whether it's a local shrimp. I mean, not to call anyone out, but so to speak, you know.
Yeah.
And look, hey, kudos to Representative Connick for trying to put some more teeth into that law. If people would ever see the back of the house, so to speak, in a restaurant, they would be shocked at some of the stuff they're eating. I mean, Louisiana needs a full truth and menu law, in my opinion, because it's not just the shrimp. I mean, you go into a restaurant and order catfish, and 9 out of 10 times you're eating some Japanese swine that they're calling catfish, you know?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, and some people, you know, because of the price, they don't care. They'll choose to eat it. And from what I understand, it's illegal to try to ban that in any state. It's a federal law that they can't ban imported products. And I guess that's to give the consumer a choice of whether they want it or not. I just think it needs to be very prominently displayed on packaging, on menus, so people know before they get it. As long as if they want to eat it, that's up to them. But I think people should know so they're not deceived.
You know, and the sad part is, Don, look, I don't go into a seafood restaurant without asking, because most of them don't publish it like they're supposed to.
Right.
But the sad part is you're asking some 20, 21-year-old waitress that's probably never seen the coast, where does your seafood come from? And you get the dumbest deer in the headlight look. It's like, I don't know, out of a cardboard box.
Yeah, I don't know. Darryl, we got to go. RealScreamers.com. Give them the telephone number.
225-937. 6288.
All right, till next week. We'll see you then, Captain Darryl Carpenter. All right, coming up in the second hour, we're going to have Captain Mike Gallo, Brendan Bayard's Paddler's Report, a swamp person busted by Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries, all next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And welcome into hour number two of the opening day of small game season. Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama's already open. Rabbit and squirrels could be in trouble this morning. If you're headed out, we'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. Shoot us a text. That's our in-studio instant text line. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to have a couple of special guests joining us there from the LSU National Gymnastics Team. I'm talking about Ashley Cowan and Sierra Ballard. They accompanied us for a Tigers in the Wild television episode, which is airing this week on Bayou Wild Television on their first offshore red snapper fishing trip. We'll get some of their comments and thoughts about it. We're also going to hear from our friend the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert. Bad boy, we got a swamp person, Troy Landry, Swamp People, a high-profile alligator hunter. And kind of controversial. A lot of people are coming to his defense and to the criticism of the department. We'll tell you the facts and you decide. Paddler's Report with Brendan Bayard, if you like to go out in a kayak or a canoe. And, of course, our old Born on the Buddy, Bayou Buddy, kind of say that real fast. Mike Gallo going to join us to give us a fishing report. Getting to your text messages coming in. This one says, let's see, we know who this is. We're going to designate him from now on the Melaton Man. If you like Melatons like I do, oh, man, what great when they stuff them with seafood, shrimp or crawfish or even ground beef or venison. They're really good. Anyway, he's hopefully getting back to his Melaton management. He's got lots of buds and early blooms, but the vines look rough. Cooler temperatures should help. Hope I'll be reporting on picking some by November. Well, David, I got to share with you, mine are looking the same situation. The stalks and the leaves, a little rough, but lots of flowers and buds. So I think that's good news for the Melaton crop. And here's one that says, I'm working this weekend, but I'm going to take the baby girl out to bag some bushy tails. Translation, take his daughter to get some squirrels. She's not as anxious to shoot them as her older brother. I can understand that, but she'll come around. All right, here's one from Big E. Says, when we evacuated to Port Arthur, Texas, Miss Pam and I went to a nice restaurant for dinner. Our waitress was a young college-age girl. When I asked her if the shrimp were domestic, she asked, what does that mean? They didn't order anything with shrimp. Yeah, I can understand. Yeah, I ask that a lot of times, particularly if I see redfish on the menu. I'll ask where the redfish from, because, you know, redfish in Louisiana is a game fish. You can't put it into commerce unless it's a foreign-raised fish or comes in from, as an import from another state. And most times they don't know. They say they're going to go ask, but we never really get an answer. But the issue with the shrimp and crawfish imports, I got to tell you, I've seen videos. And if you've ever seen some of the conditions, the unsanitary ponds where they wash their clothes, they use it for human waste, and they also raise seafood in it with full of antibiotics to try to clean it up. Then they import it to this country, and it comes in here a lot of time under the disguise of a different name and a little fine print. You got to really read it. But if you see crawfish tails for $7 a pound and other crawfish tails for $14 a pound, you can probably guess which one is the import. And again, it's a personal choice. If you want to eat that junk, you're welcome to it. But I think people need to know what they're eating. All right, as one says, you never mentioned the disability hunt open this weekend. Yes, we did. Old Man Sam is participating, and he brought it up to us. Here's one says, I'd like to give a shout to all the members of the Double Nickel West Bass Club. They fished at Yafunta River every Tuesday morning. That's from Big Man Bassin in Mandeville. Well, good luck to you guys, and give me some reports. Let me know how you guys are doing on the Yafunta River. A lot of tournaments there, and particularly in the fall and winter, because the water skiers and boat traffic kind of lightens up. All right, we come back after this. You'll hear from Mike Gallo. We call him Born on the Bayou. In fact, it's his walk-up music. He's next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. You know, I can only imagine how many compliments and thank yous Captain Chris Orfanello gets with CETO. You know, because I hear a lot of people get feedback and say, look, we want to thank you for mentioning it on the radio. We got the policy. We would have been stuck out there for hours. It was hot. It was full of mosquitoes. They came very quickly. They towed us. They brought us fuel. A lot of different instances. And I'm sure when that big yellow boat shows up, there's probably some cheering on the water. And if you ever need a rescue or you need their services of fuel delivery, electrical jump starts, or towing, get yourself a CETO policy. It's easy to do. Call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or you can sign up at CETO.com. It's $249 for a whole year. Makes a great gift, by the way, for a loved one that you really care about, who you know spends a lot of time on the water. And speaking about spending a lot of time on the water, Captain Mike Gallo joins us of Angling Adventures of Louisiana. Captain Mike, kind of retrace your steps this week. How did you do?
Well, Don, I spent 2 days in the Biloxi Marsh pursuing redfish. We had high water that was falling slowly. We were coming out of that neap tide, so we didn't have the greatest of tide movement. But we did well on redfish. I have two people, and we caught 16 in the 2 days that we went. We probably caught another 16 that were 12 inches or smaller. So I see there's some small ones that'll be there next year that'll grow into keeper size. So that's promising to see. Yesterday, with the rain all around us, we waited for a window of opportunity. We grabbed some live shrimp, and we decided to make a go of it as close to the lodge here as possible. And we fished one of the deeper passes, Unknown Pass area, and caught quite a few white trout, a few speckled trout mixed in. We had a flounder, we had a black drum. So it was productive for the conditions. And I would certainly feel that today, the water being high and the wind out of the north, it's going to be falling, and those same areas are going to be productive, the deeper passes where there's good current movement. After we got them going pretty good with the live shrimp, we switched in some plastic, and they continued to bite really well until all the live shrimp was gone. And then that bite on plastic might have lasted another 30 minutes, and it faded out. And by then it was 1 o'clock, and there was rain really close. Little drizzle was on us, so we decided we got plenty. Let's go back and clean them up, and we'll start again tomorrow.
So what's the plan today, given the situation? We've got some pretty stiff east and northeast winds and pretty good tide range and no rain. What's the plan?
Well, same two guys. They're going to be here for a week, and we're going to go see if we can. I'm going to poke my nose out into Lake Bourne and see how rough it is. If it's too rough, we'll probably hit the intercoastal and run down towards Bayou B Avenue and fish that marsh along the Mr. Go towards the Shell Beach area. That's all protected. And it also will put me in an area where there may be some trout if we decide the red fishing's not working.
You know, Mike,
It'll give me two options, and also we'll stay in protected water.
We're talking with Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. You know, Mike, this time of the year, get into early October, I get it every week. Somebody wants to know, are the World Series trout showing up? What's it look like over there on those bridges in Pontchartrain?
I've caught some decent-sized trout. I wouldn't call anything World Series as of yet. I haven't done much fishing on the bridges, but I do think the fishing's a little bit ahead of schedule. Normally, I think the second half of October is more consistent, you know, once it arrives. And we're already seeing trout in the local area. So I think we're just a bit ahead of schedule. When we get some good weather, I will certainly be over there at those bridges giving those a try. But I haven't done any fishing there as of yet.
Mike, what's the availability of live bait in your area?
We just left the Wrigley Lee's Marina. I got three boats going out this morning. So plenty of live bait. I was there recently, 30 minutes ago, picking up live bait for two of the other captains. And a lot of beautiful shrimp they're catching right here in the local waters. So they stay live, you know, really well in your tanks, and the fish are eating them up.
And Mike, you know, one thing that's been real quiet this year, triple tail. Have you caught any at all? And anyone that you talked to seen any in Lake Bourne and some of those areas where they normally come in?
I have not caught one. We saw a few this year. Some of them we saw were only 8 or 10 inches long, and we didn't bother with them because they're obviously undersized. One of the captains that worked for me caught one maybe 3 weeks ago. He said he saw two. They caught one. The second one they hooked, and he popped off. So I have seen one caught this year, and it was a nice-sized fish, I would say 18 to 20 inches.
Yeah, it seemed to be the pattern. They were more down south off the Venice coast than they did coming in for some reason. And, you know, it varies from year to year. And, of course, the availability of crab floats has a direct correlation to how many triple tail you're going to find in Lake Bourne, because that's mainly where you're going to see them.
Right. That's where we saw them, behind crab traps. There should be plenty of crab traps in the lake, because I know we saw a lot of crabs the last couple of days in the Biloxi Marsh. You know, just going out with the tide, you see them while you're fishing. If we didn't see two dozen over the last couple of days that we were in the marsh, we didn't see any. So that's a good sign, I would assume, for the crabbers.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, you got three boats going out. I know you're busy there at the Spots and Dots Lake House Lodge. But before you go, in addition to finding you on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, give us your website and telephone number if somebody wants to get in touch with you for some good fall action.
Very simple. You can find me at AAofLA.com. We're on social media at Angling Adventures of Louisiana. And the reliable telephone, which is 985-781-7811. And, Don, I find it interesting that you said you've had lots of people tell you thank you for turning them on to CETO. I've had the same thing happen to me with customers that have their own boats but still fish with me a couple of times a year to sort of brush up on their technique or areas and things like that. And they'll tell me about a trip they went on and had some sort of a breakdown, and CETO was right there to help them. And they said, Cap, if you wouldn't have turned us on to that, we might still be out there trying to paddle.
Yep. They make a lot of people happy. They perform a wonderful service. Mike, have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon. And we'll be talking about that Dutch trip coming up pretty soon, too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm staying away from that spot of his so that I have some fish in it.
Good. Let them stack up in there. Thanks again, Mike. We'll see you next week.
All right, Don. Talk to you then.
There he goes, born on the bayous, Captain Mike Gallo. All right, if you'd like to get out there and get up close and personal to your fish, maybe in a kayak or a canoe, Brendan Bayard joins us next. He'll talk about last weekend's Redfish Rumble and what the prospects are for a windy weekend paddling for your fish. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time for our Paddler's Report in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. Brendan Bayard joins us now. And Brendan, let's take it back a week to the Redfish Rumble. We were talking about it with Captain Eric on Highway 23. How did it turn out, and what does that say about the next few weekends for fall fishing?
Yeah, Don, the fishing was absolutely wonderful. Guys caught tons of redfish, tons of trout. I know it wasn't a trout tournament, but they had sections where they got into every cast with a nice trout. So I think fall and tide is looking great. So I think the seasonal patterns are a little bit ahead of schedule. We're seeing the benefits of fall earlier, and those fish have already migrated into areas in the upper estuary like Lake Hermitage and, way into Port Sulphur, Happy Jack. So Highway 23 is ready and primed for fall and tide.
What did you see, and what were the reports from the fishermen on the size of the fish with perspective to the new slot limits are being put in?
Yeah, they were, there was a mix of a lot of small fish in there, and then, there was a few of the right size upper slot fish. You had to cull through a lot of the smaller ones, but, they're all out there. You might catch, 20 reds to put together a bag of perfect reds, but, it's all part of the fun out there, tugging the lines, That's what the trends I've been seeing for the last couple of years is there's a lot of really small redfish mixed in with the normal mid to upper slot reds that you see in the marsh.
Who was the big winner and what was the prize?
Chuck Bahan won. He got a cash prize. I forgot the amount, but it was a CPR tournament. And if you want to see the full results, you can look at the Tourney X app. It's available on your phone or anywhere you download apps, and you can just search for Redfish Rumble and you'll see the list of everybody's results there. It was a CPR tournament. Fall and Tide will be a weigh tournament. So it'll be just, string them and bring them, and bring your redfish, trout, and flounder to the scales down in Empire next weekend.
Yep, and get more details on it there. Well, we got some pretty nice taste of fall weather coming up all next week, but it could be a little windy. What advice can you give people that are going to be fishing over this next week?
Yeah, luckily, the way that Highway 23 is set up, we have that nice levee that protects us from kind of northeast winds, depending upon where you're at. I would advise people, it's a perfect day to scout for bad weather because we got a little bit, it's the silver lining of today, if you will. There's going to be some people out there scouting for fall and tide, but if you can catch them on a day like today, then you're probably pretty good shape for next weekend when we have probably similar situations. I would worry about water clarity after like a whole week of windy conditions, but they've been adding some dirt down there and making some little pockets of land, and some of those areas don't see as much turnover and stay a little bit clearer than they used to, so that's a good thing. Up in Hermitage, we just mentioned the trout and red fishing has been great, Port Sulphur, all the way down to Yellow Cotton Bay. So I think really you could go anywhere top to bottom and a winner could come out of that. Even that down on the road at Tidewater Road over there by what they call Chawee Bay has that new kind of landmass above it. So that even offers a little bit of protection from the north wind, too, if you on the other side of Chawee Bay away from the road. So lots of great areas.
All right. All good stuff, Brendan. Thanks for the report. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Don. Take care.
All right. Have a good weekend. Brendan Bayard, one of our two field reporters for our Paddler's Report. All right. Coming back after this, it's Bad Boy of the Outdoors time. You probably heard Troy Landry cited for two citations for alligator violations. We'll tell you the story and also about a lot of people that are standing up for him and saying that, he shouldn't have gotten the citations. What do you think? We'll give you the facts up next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
All right, taking a look at our text messages, we have this one. Good morning, Don. Do whales enter the Gulf of Mexico? If yes, have you ever seen one? Enjoy your show. Yes, they in fact do. There's several species that come into the Gulf of Mexico, most of the smaller species. I have seen a whale once. Unfortunately, I did not have a video camera with me, but I'll tell you what, there's nothing like the whales in Alaska. Those are the big boys that do the surface busting, and I've seen some of those and got some of that on video. But yeah, there are whales in the Gulf of Mexico. The more time you spend out there, the higher your chances of seeing one. Let's see. The Worm wants to know about bass in intercoastal marsh around Miller's Ditch and Unknown Pass. I'll do a little investigation on that for you and get an answer for you next week's show. Let's see. John Terrebonne, there he is, the Convent Hunting Club. They're on the way to load up the rabbit dogs. Yeah, their hunting season opens up for rabbits. They've been training the dogs off-season, and now they get to bring the shotguns. They've seen a lot of rabbits, and the hurricane pushed some of the brush down, so it should be a good start for a great season of rabbit hunting. Go get those lapins. And here's a crazy story. Says I had a chameleon ride the entire 40 miles from Covington to Metairie on my windshield Thursday. He hung on doing 65 plus on the causeway, even in the rain. You know, if you look on the toe pads of those lizards, they've kind of got little suction cups on it. I bet you he had some white knuckles when he got to Metairie. Here's one that says, I want to let you know that I'm shooting a lot of small game today. I'm not sure what the limit is. I'm the photographer for the Rain Recreational Peewee Football, and we'll be shooting photographs of football players all day in Louisiana. Look it up and find out what the limit is for shooting photos of peewee football. LOL. Have a lot of fun doing it. All right, we come back after this station identification pause. We'll tell you about Swamp Man, Swamp People, Troy Landry. Was caught, nailed by Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries for a couple of alligator violations. His story's next, and you decide, do you think it was warranted or not? We'll do that right after we let our local stations identify themselves along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, our Bayou Wild TV affiliate station in Baton Rouge, WAFB, reported that the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries cited famed gator hunter and star of the show Swamp People, Troy Landry, following an undercover sting. Two agents say they got a tip that certain people were hunting alligators in Lake Pelord in St. Mary Parish, despite not having permission to hunt on that property. So last month, the two agents staked out the area for 6 hours until they spotted Landry and two other people, including an unidentified cameraman, arrive in the area by boat. In their incident report, the agents said they later determined Landry did have permission to hunt on the property. However, he allegedly did not have the proper alligator tags to hunt in that specific area. The agents said they also found a dead alligator floating in the lake with the same line hanging from its mouth as the rest of Mr. Landry's lines. Landry also admitted that prior to the agents making contact with him, he cut a dead stiff alligator loose from his line and let it float away. Charged with two counts of failing to tag an alligator upon taking, and if convicted, facing a maximum fine of $1,900 and up to 120 days jail time, is 64-year-old King of the Swamp Troy Landry of Pierre Part, Louisiana, today's bad boy of the outdoors. You know, I'm thinking Landry probably could have been charged with wanton waste, which is a charge for wasting game or fish when he cut that dead alligator loose. And it's going to be interesting to see what the History Channel does with the program Swamp People. If he's convicted or pleads guilty, he'll pay the fine. He won't get any jail time. Very rarely do they ever put people in jail for wildlife and fishery violations. But the real punishment is going to be to his reputation and its impact to the future of his show. Then again, it might even make him more popular. You know, he could become an enhanced image of that bad boy image of a swamp person and even make him more popular. A lot of people have risen to his defense. And, you know, last week when we talked about what regulations would you like to see change, one of the ones I brought up was we got too many alligators. And that's one of the arguments people are making. Why are you writing tickets for cutting a dead alligator loose? There's more alligators than we need. They're threatening other species. And I suggested that our Department of Wildlife and Fisheries should come up with a more open system of hunting, let more people hunt them, even if it requires tags, kind of a tag like we do with deer and other game. to take more of these alligators because there is an overpopulation. And a lot of people said he was targeted because of who he was, and they'd like to see him walk. And other people say, no, he's not above the law. He broke the law. He's got to do the time. What do you think? 504-260-1870. That's our in-studio text line. And we come back, we'll get to some of those texts, and also we'll talk to the Plastic Man, one Captain Ryan Lambert. We'll get him to recap his teal season. I made a teal hunt with him down there last Sunday. Wasn't that bad, but it was not one of his more outstanding teal seasons, similar to what Captain Kirk said on the opposite side of the state. We'll hear from him and get a fishing report after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we've got some text messages come in, said someone has seen whale sharks diving the platforms out in the Gulf. Right now, though, they're in Port Gibson sitting on an acorn flat with a beautiful morning. That's Chet from Best Business Forms. Yeah, Chet, hope you get that deer. And let's see, Old Man Sam says maybe the show Swamp People needed a ratings boost. I don't know if they need that kind. Here's one that says Troy got caught. Shut up, pay the fine, and obey the law. Case closed. And another text says the concession vendor at the Shrimp and Petroleum Festival may have been told by the wholesale distributor that the shrimp were Gulf shrimp. The festival volunteers definitely would not know. Yeah, that's a fact. This one says, with regard to Troy Landry, I know he supposedly broke the law with the overpopulation of gators. He was really helping the problem. Well, I don't know if it was really his intent to solve a problem or I understand. I do television, and a lot of times there's a lot of pressure to get the shots, to get the show, and you can't stretch it and do things wrong. And he got caught doing that. Here's one that says, arresting Troy gives the ratings boost to the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries enforcement agents as well. Somewhat of a public service announcement, we catch them all. And here's one said he didn't want to waste a tag on a bad gator. That's a waste of our resources, even though their population is getting more out of control, even with hunting him. I like him and buy his products from Rouse's, but he knows better and should set a better example to all who envy. I think we'll leave it on that. Excellent text, summing it up. Captain Ryan Lambert, the Plastic Man, joins us. He's done some alligator hunting this year, and I did some with him. But you got to do it right. Huh, Ryan? You got to do everything right.
Yeah, you do, especially when you're in a position like us. You know, people look at you and look up to you. It's hard. But like you said, there's a lot of pressure on him to get that show done. And that's just it's one of them things. You know, he had permission to go there. And again, there's 3 million alligators in the state. I mean, they're dead all over the road. I mean, they're getting to be a hazard. So yeah. Yeah, they'll loosen up on the restrictions before long. They have to because, you know, not for particularly those laws, but they're going to have to loosen up, let more tags out, let more people kill them or something because they're getting to be dangerous.
But, you know, you have to
look at
this. You
can't go fishing without them coming up to the boat now.
Well, no, you see that. I mean, they have no fear of people anymore. But, you know, you got to look at this from the standpoint of the agents. Suppose these agents would have said, it's Troy Landry, we're going to let him go, and then the word gets out. What do you think people would say then? Yeah, if it would have been me, you'd have put me under the jail, but you let him go.
The mayor or something. You know, if the mayor's got a DWI and you pull him over, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, it's your job. I mean,
absolutely.
If he's got enough stroke, he can get out of it or if he wants. But, you know, it's like I say, like the guy said, pay your fine and go on with it. I
mean, that would be
hopefully
my advice.
It won't be too big a deal.
Pay your fine, say your penance, and go about your business, and don't do it again. Well, Ryan, since we left you, we talked to Captain Kirk. He said this was one of his worst teal seasons, and it wasn't a really especially good one for you, but a bad one for you is a good teal season for some folks. Give us a little bit of a recap.
Worst teal season I've ever seen. Absolute worst. I mean, usually, you know, you go out there and at least half the blinds will limit out. I mean, it was just horrendous. The birds never showed up. And they showed up one day, and the water was so high they couldn't stay, and that was 3 days before the season end. I mean, they had a normal great day, flocks of 30 coming in the decoys right and left. I mean, just beautiful. And next day, they were gone.
Yeah. Well, next season may be worse because if they're accurate, the population is down, and they're going to limit it to probably a nine-day season next year.
Well, you know, the rice fields in Texas had great seasons and lots of birds. The teal migration has moved a little bit west, and, you know, it's our habitat. We just don't have the habitat anymore. You know, there's a lot here, but, again, the birds didn't show up. We never had but one little tiny cold front, So watch this week. They got a cold front coming this week. They're going to have more chill. You can shake a stick
at. Oh, yeah. People be saying, oh, they set the season too early.
No, it's not Mother Nature. I mean, you can't set Mother Nature, you know.
Yeah, well.
This is my favorite time of the year, no matter if they showed up or not. I mean, you're just cool. The fish are biting. Although the river's coming up this week, it's going to go all the way to 4-9 by next Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then it's going to drop right back out. So. Yeah. 4-9 is really pushing the bubble to get a big old surge of sediment in there, and it might dirty it up, and you don't know if it's going to clean back up after before November to get those trout in there. So it might ruin my fall as far as fishing in the river.
Yeah. Well,
I hope not, because I really enjoy that.
Yeah, well, you got some casting and blasting to look forward to, you know, come November. So if people want to get that, how's the schedule looking for the big duck season with some fishing mixed in?
Early in the season in November, I still have some dates left. But as you go on, and we have a big problem this year because we have so much negative tide in January that we can't even hunt. I mean, negative 0.9. I mean, you can't even get to a blind when you got anything under negative 5. So we have a lot of that. So I'm going to really be in trouble this year on being able to book a lot of dates. So I'm almost booked already for the late season. And, you know, we had it fixed with wildlife and fishery last year, and the people up northwest, well, they got mad because the season closed too early for them. But we got to have a three-tier season where there's a coastal zone where we shut the season down when you can't hunt. I mean, it's just, you know, and again, it goes in 3 or 5 year increments. I don't remember, but I'm going to be on them like gravy on rice when it comes because we have got to fix this problem. I mean,
well, so far. So far, the new secretary, Madison Shahan, she's taken on some of these, you know, user group requested issues, and maybe that'll be a good one for her to work on.
Yeah, well they tried last year in the other part of this. I mean, how in the world are we in the same zone as Shreveport?
Yeah, you know? and Lake Charles, both of you in the west, Venice being in the west
zone.
Yeah,
it makes no sense. I don't know how they did that, but they did it, and we're paying the price. But hope we'll get it fixed. You know, we'll suffer again this year, but I hope they do it before I'm too Diego Mo to hunt.
Give us that phone number before you go.
Oh, yeah, it's 504-559-5111. And we still got some time early, you know, but right before Thanksgiving, from the start of the season till Thanksgiving, I still have some open dates.
Sounds good. All right, Captain Ryan, right, we'll talk with you next week, bud.
Sounds great, partner. We'll see you.
All right, there he goes. Captain Ryan Lambert, our plastic man. In case you're wondering why we call him that, he simply abhors fishing with dead or live bait. He likes the plastic stuff. All right, coming back after this, we're going to talk to two LSU national gymnasts, where we can say that, Ashley Cowan and Sierra Ballard. We took them on a red snapper fishing trip, and they're going to tell you whether they liked it and how they did. Coming up next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. A lot of you who are viewers of our television show called Bayou Wild TV know that we have implemented for the past couple of seasons a Tigers in the Wild feature where we take LSU athletes out to enjoy the hunting and fishing resources of Louisiana and sometimes other states. And it's been very popular, and we have a show that's airing right now. We want to give you a little bit of a Tigers in the Wild preview, and it's a presentation of Sunshine Equipment, your hometown John Deere dealer. And joining us this morning are two LSU National Gymnastics team members, Ashley Cowan and Sierra Ballard. Ashley, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Don. How are you?
I'm doing great. Sierra, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm right here, ready to go.
Very good. Listen, if y'all would, either one of you, tell us about the accomplishments of the LSU gymnastics team this year. Somebody.
Well, I have to say, it's pretty much history. That's all, really. We won the SEC championship for the first time in 5 years in New Orleans, in our home state, in front of the purple and gold. Nothing better than that. And then we happened to go all the way to Fort Worth this year and won the first national championship ever for our program. And truly making history and doing it with the best fans in the nation behind our back.
So I guess the pressure's on for this year, right?
I mean, the pressure's on every year.
Yeah, it's true. Well, the pressure was on fishing out in the Gulf of Mexico. This was the first time for both of you young ladies to go out into the Gulf and to fish for red snapper. And we discovered that you carried your competitive nature over from the gym floor onto the offshore boat, the Kemosabe 2. Did we ever decide who was the winner? Was that determined? Maybe I'll ask each of you. Ashley, who won the fishing competition?
I feel like we went back and forth a little bit. I mean, reflecting on it now, I think Sierra may have caught more fish as soon as we got going, but I did catch the first fish. So it depends on what we want to, you know, judge the winner based off of.
All right, Sierra, your turn. Who won the competition?
I never thought that she would, you know, admit that. So it means a lot. I will admit she did catch the first fish. So in that competition, she won.
Yeah.
The others, I don't know. I kind of got too excited and I got a little bit lost in the sauce and was just locked in on catching. I wasn't really counting anymore.
Yeah, well, y'all both had a lot of fun. You limit on that for sure. Ashley, what was there anything surprising that you found unexpected when you went out there?
I did not think that we would have to drop the line so far down and that it would take so long to reel it back up. Like, there were some times where I didn't think that I was ever going to see the other end of, like, my fishing line.
And Sierra, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, kind of similar. It was just a lot of forearm strength. I don't know why I just, like, didn't process the fact that, yeah, the fish is fighting against you, Sierra. So it was a lot strong, like, took a lot more strength than I assumed. But it was really fun.
Now, when we left, there was some discussion about who was going to do some cooking for these fish. What happened to these snapper when you got them back to your apartment?
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, Don. It was so good. So we made fish tacos. Our roommate is such a chef. And so we both helped. But, yeah, she made fish tacos. We had a little crema on top and a little slaw. They were absolutely amazing.
Wow, you're making me.
We still have some of the snapper.
You're making me hungry. I guess y'all ready to go again, huh?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that's kind of
convenient.
I can
totally
convenient.
Eat those again.
That's kind of convenient, having a chef as a roommate there, huh?
Right.
That really works out good. Well, I'm so glad y'all got to go with us. We want to invite everyone to check out some of the clips. They're on your Facebook pages and your Instagram. They're on the Bayou Wild website. In fact, if someone can't find Bayou Wild, an affiliate station near them, they can go to BayouWildTV.com and look it up. It's running all this week on all of our stations. And then, of course, it goes into the archives where they can check it out at their convenience. I got to tell you, you two are very photogenic. Y'all had a lot of fun, and y'all did a great job for first time is pulling up those big fish. They got a lot of pull power, don't they?
They do indeed.
I'm going to ask each of you this last question. If there's an athlete out there in high school that's looking to shop for a university to go to, what can you tell them about becoming an LSU athlete?
I think Sierra, you should take this one first.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that coming to LSU is like coming into a new family. I mean, LSU really embodies the entire culture of Louisiana and just that family atmosphere and just so welcoming and so exciting, and everyone's going to have your back no matter what. And I just think that it's a great community. And if you love community and you love people and you love relationships, then LSU is the place for you.
She left you 10 seconds, Ashley.
Yeah, I mean, I agree so much. I think there's such community, and it also really just sets you up for a great time in life down here.
Had a great time with you young ladies. Really enjoyed it and hope we get to do it again. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for helping us with a Tigers in the Wild episode. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so
Good
much.
Good luck. We'll be looking for you on the gym floor. That's Ashley and Sierra. We'll see you next week on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.